Proverbs chapter 15, look in one verse, verse 10, and then I'm going to preach. The Bible says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you again, and that one more time, and that for the opportunity that we have to come and preach. And Lord, we just want you to guide us today. We'll certainly do our best to follow. And Lord, we just want to know what to do and how to preach. And Lord, I know that without your help, you told us in John 15:5, without me, you could do nothing. And God, I pray today that God, that you just help us to be able to preach and that in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we just ask and pray that if there's somebody here lost, that they'd get saved. One that might have a need, God, that need would be met today. Now, we truly love you and thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us so that we might be free. And thank you for the freedom that we have today. And God, I pray that you'd just never let us take it for granted. And Lord, might our nation that started loving you might return and repent, yes, and that unto you. And I pray that do that today. Pray for somebody here that needs to come and repent. Pray that do that. Maybe draw close. Lord, we'll tell you again that we love you. And we just thank you for all that you've done. Save that sinner that's near his tail for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated today. I want to preach for just a little while. I have a thought out of verse 10. The Lord gave us this thought in our daily Bible reading while we were reading the book of Proverbs. And it says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. I want to preach for just a minute or two, God being our helper, on what it means to be backslid. I want to deal with what he said, for him that forsaketh the way. You know, that's what a backslider in heart does. Listen, that word backslide simply means to fall off or to gradually turn from the faith and the practice. It means to apostatize. Let me say this, that once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. We already shouted right there, hello, once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. If we don't believe that, I'm going to shut my Bible and go home. You can call a different preacher. But friend, I believe in eternal security, the believer. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 said, after that we believe the word of truth, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of God. Thank God I'm saved eternally. Listen, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 1 Peter chapter 1 said that we are kept by the word of God. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is standing there judging all those that are lost, he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Listen, friend, if you could be saved and lost again, how could God stand there that day and say that I never knew you?
That's right.
Amen. I'm saved eternally. Amen. Thank God for that. Now are we excited? Amen. About our eternal security. Thank God for that today. And you're welcome for that too. That was just extra. Amen. But to be backslid, and I'd be honest with you, it means in that to turn from what we to know to be right. Now there is a difference in having some sin in our life and being backslid. You can get sin in your life and still try to serve God and get things right with God. I understand that. We mess up on a daily basis. Not that we should, was teaching them, young adults this morning, we are going to mess up. We're going to face temptation. But don't make excuses for it. Don't say, well, I'm just going to mess up. So I'm just going to mess up anyway. Listen, we ought to strive to live perfect and act before God and before this world. Amen. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about folk that have turned from what they know to be right. The Bible said that from him or unto him that forsaketh the way. I'm talking about folk that once served God, but yet now you can't find them in church. I'm talking about one that used to be separated and that from the world, but now you'll find them doing things and in the places of the world that they shouldn't be. I'm talking about those that used to keep a pure life and keep a pure speech, but now they're saying things that they ought not to say. Then those that used to dress modestly, but yet now they're impure and immodest in their dress. Let me say today that you and I both are guilty or can be guilty of backsliding on the Lord. Why do you think the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in his fault, ye which are spiritual, restore one in a spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we know that there is the possibility and that of falling away. Let me say today that if you're not saved, that you cannot be backslid. You need to get saved. A lot of people say, well, I'm backslid on God. I just ain't right with God. I just need to draw close to God, when really what they need is just a good dose and that of Bible salvation, and that would fix a lot of their problems. Amen. There's a lot of folks sitting on the church pew that just needs to get saved, and that would fix a lot of things. But it says right here that he that forsaketh the way, talks about correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. I want to just preach for a minute or two on what it means to be backslid. Number one, on what it means to be backslid is you're going to do it your way. It talks about right here that there he forsaketh the way. And so that means the backslider is going to do it their way. Proverbs chapter 14 said that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his what? Own ways. Going to do it my way, preacher. Listen, I mean it's always about the backslider. Listen, some of you in here know what I'm talking about. You see it in people now, or you've had it in your life personally and got right with God. But the backslider is concerned about their self. Can I say today that nobody is going to tell them how they're going to live. Nobody, I mean the preacher is not going to tell them. The Sunday school teacher is not going to tell them. And let me say today, and I honestly believe this with all my heart, that some of you are sitting in here today because the Sunday school teacher got concerned about you.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you don't know how concerned some of you Sunday school teachers has been over the years, but your preacher knows. Because they'll come and they'll talk to the preacher and they'll say, well, we need to pray about this, or we need to pray about that, and pray about this one, pray about that one. I see this one headed in the wrong direction. Listen, folk, pay attention. You may just think your Sunday school teacher's just there for 45 minutes on Sunday morning, but I'll guarantee you that these men and ladies in here care about your soul today. Amen. They care about you. Amen. As much as your preacher does, I believe that today. But listen, the backslider in heart says, I'm not going to let anybody else tell me what I can do. As I studied this, I thought about Jeremiah chapter 44 over there. And boy, I mean, Israel was not right with God. Jeremiah was trying to get them right with God. Judgment was about to fall. And I mean, God was fixing to send Nebuchadnezzar down there to take care of Israel. He was going to wipe them out and carry them off, if you'd let me say that. And in Jeremiah chapter 44 and in verse 15, the Bible said, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, hello, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done when our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. You know why they were well and saw no evil? Because God was merciful. God was having a hand of mercy upon them. I ain't sending the preacher day in and day out. The Bible said, but times he sent the prophets and the men of God to preach to them in his mercy. But you know what was about to happen? They said, God, we're going to have nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your word. We're going to forsake the way and do what we want to do. And judgment was soon to come. But it was all about the backslider. You see, they said in the book of Jeremiah, we'll do whatever comes out of our own mouth to do. We're going to do it our way. We're not going to do it your way. We're not going to do it the church's way. And we sure ain't going to do it the Bible way. We're going to do it our way. Some of you are thinking, boy, I wish this one right here was here today. This such and such and was here. It took me a long time as pastoring to get over that. I have to deal with who's here. Amen. I'll get everybody else a CD. Amen. We'll get them a tape, as my preacher used to say. We ain't done a tape in years. Well, listen, the backslider is all about them. They're self-willed and they're self-absorbed in their self. Can I tell you today, friend, that it ain't about you? It ain't about me. It's about this book, and it is about the God of this book and the Savior that this book tells us all about. It's about Him.
Amen.
It's a hymn book. Amen. I mean, it's all about Him. And all we're here for, friend, is to worship and glorify Him in our life. Amen. And that takes being submissive and that to Him and to His will. But the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Bible said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and as for the old path, where is the what? The good way. Talking about the way now. The good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We won't do it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So listen, the backslider may not come out with this mouth and say, I'll not do it. But in their heart, they're a rebel at heart. And they said, I'm not going to do what they say to do. I know folk like that right now. Honestly, I know folk like that right now. They're just a rebel. They're just a plain rebel. That's all they are on God and God's word. Amen. I'm just being honest. And I think if you think, and maybe that's how you were one day, maybe that's how you are today, because I really don't think God would send this message just to let it fall on deaf ears.
Amen. That's right.
And I know it's a good warning for all of us.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Because remember, he said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
That's right.
I've told you this before, but there is, when a preacher falls, especially one that I know, it scares me to death. You know why? Because I know that I'm no better than he was. I'm in the same flesh that you're in. I'm in the same flesh that preacher that fell. In the same flesh that he's in. And I know that if he's capable of doing it, so do I. But they said, we'll not hearken and we'll not listen. Why? Because the backslider is about their self. The backslider will blame everybody else but their self.
Amen.
Amen. They'll blame the preacher. I've carried a lot of blame in a lot of folks' hearts over the years. I know I have. I was saying about that this morning. There's been a lot of people that's probably hated my guts over the years because of preaching the truth. If they hate it for some other reason, then I'm sorry. But if they hate it because I preach the truth, I'm not sorry.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to be sorry for preaching this book. I'm not going to be. I'm not backing up. I'm not doing any of those things. And I don't expect you to either.
Come on, Lord.
Amen. I'm just going to be honest today. Hey, listen, I'm sure that there's a lot of folk that have hated my guts and that for what I've preached. But they'll say the preacher, you know, he just ain't the same as he used to be. You can go back and you can listen to my tape 16 years ago, and I still preach the same that I did the day that I walked in here. I was probably meaner then than I am now. Amen. You think I'm meaner now, Brother Steve, than I was 16 years ago? Am I about the same? Amen. 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 I always been with the book. Amen. It's the truth. He was here the first day that I walked in here and sat down right here. Listen. Listen. It's all that matters is that book. You've got to remember that. Listen. What did he say? Listen, the church, you know, the preacher, he's just not the same. You know, the church just ain't the same as it used to be. I've heard folks say that. No, the church just ain't the same. No, we're the same. We're still singing the same songs, preaching the same book, doing the same thing that we've always done, especially since I've been here. We're headed down the same path, hopefully, in that serving God. What's happened is they've changed. And nobody wants to take responsibility for their change. You know, the preacher, it's his fault. It's the church's fault. Well, preacher, if you know what they said about me, and you know, you got to be careful about what you said. I'll deal with this tonight out of the book of Ephesians. God being our helper tonight on some things. You can hurt folks' feelings.
Amen.
But can I tell you today, if you get your feelings hurt in church, then you deal with that and you keep on serving God. Amen. Don't let somebody drive you out of church. Because of what they might have said. They'll say, hey, listen. They'll say, well, it's the church's fault. Church just ain't the same. Preacher ain't the same. These folk ain't the same. They're different than what they used to be. Well, preacher, you know, I got to work all these hours on the job. Now, I will tell you this. Some folk get trapped in a job. It's hard to get out. I won't argue that. I won't argue that at all. And you got to be careful about that thing. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you want to stay close to God and work a lot of hours and work on Sunday, let me say this. And I know we've got men and ladies in here that work on Sundays. But if you can keep from it, you ought to keep from it.
Amen.
I believe you ought to be at church come Sunday time. That's the Lord's day. I know sometimes it gets out of our hands and you can't help it. But friends, sure don't be volunteering for it. And I sure wouldn't be looking for a job that was going to make me work on Sundays. Because all that's going to do is take you away from God, friend. It ain't worth the money and it ain't worth everything else that comes with it. It just ain't worth it. You want God to bless you, remain faithful to Him. Preacher, I just can't see it. I just can't see it. Sometimes we can't see it. But can I tell you this? Me and my wife has always had plenty, and I've never had to work on Sunday. I've kept from it over the years. And I've told you this 1,000 times. I was working a job one time, and they got to talking about coming in working on Sundays. They said, well, we come in on Saturday and Sunday. And I really don't like that. When I was working a public job, didn't like to go work on Saturdays. But I said, I'll do Saturdays. But I said, let me tell you something, boys. I'll drag up off this job right here and take my tool bag, and I'll go home before I work a Sunday. I just ain't going to do it. I think God expects more out of me than that.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you can deal with it however you want to. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I believe God would bless you if you strive not to work on that Sunday, friend. Again, I know there's some things that get out of our hands. But friend, you need to strive to stay faithful and that to God. Some of you have work Sundays. Let me ask you this question. I was thinking about this while I was studying. If you be honest with yourself and you've worked Sundays and you've worked Sundays on a consecutive run and work Sundays in and out, then you know that it works on your spiritual life. It has to.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it has to. There's no other way around it. You can't miss church on a consecutive Sunday in and Sunday out and it not bother you. If you're saved, it's got to. And like I told you, for those that have to that get called into that and those that have to take care of mom and dad, you know, there's some folk in here that have to take care of parents. And that's their responsibility. Can I tell you that today, that if you're capable and able to take care of mom and dad, it's your responsibility. And sometimes that forces them to miss Sunday. And you know what those folk have to do? They have to strive harder and harder and harder to remain faithful to God and remain faithful and true to God and live for Him than what me or you might have to, because we're coming to church Sunday in and Sunday out, Wednesday in and Wednesday out. We're getting filled up and refilled and refilled. Boy, ain't that good? Boy, that's just extra today. Nobody, it don't cost you no extra, amen. But you know what? The backslider. I'm trying to keep you from being backslid today. The backslider. is filled with their own ways. Mm-hmm. But then number two, the backslider is what? What brought on that backslid condition? Now, preach on what it means to be backslid. One is they're filled with their own ways, but how did they get to that position? How did they become self-willed or self-absorbed? Can I tell you that when me and you got saved, there should have been a change on the inside.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So there ought to have been a change. So something should have happened inside of our life that we wanted to find the will of God and the way of God for our life, that we could be submissive and search out His will for us. And then when you found it, you would have wanted to jump in both feet first and take off. Now that's what ought to happen. Now I don't know, it might have took a little while to get there, but no doubt there's something happened on the inside. But you know, there's something happens when folk gets in a backslid condition. Something brought them to that position. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. When there becomes an absence of a spiritual leadership in your life, then a backslid condition is fixing to happen. I want you to look in Exodus chapter 32. And the Bible says that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. What happened right here? They, most of us know, they come up out of the land of Egypt. God has sent 10 plagues down there. They come up, they finally get free and that from Egypt. They go and God parts the Red Sea. They cross on dry ground. They get out in the wilderness. God has leading them a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. He's made them drink from the rock. He has turned the place of mire, which means bitter, and that into sweet. And what I'm saying is they've seen God work over and over and over and over and over again. He's raining manna down from heaven. Gave them quail. The Bible said at one time that they load that light bread. How could you load the blessing of God? Think about that for just a minute. That was a blessing of God. God could let them starve out in the wilderness. They let it rain manna. Angels food. A little coriander seed. In the middle of it, a drip of honey on it, I believe. I bet that was good, amen. But you know what happened? There become, when Moses went up on the mount and that to receive the word, to receive the law of God, what happened? Moses is gone for a while and there is an absence of spiritual leadership. And boy, Aaron wasn't much good at this time. Aaron wasn't any good, as a matter of fact, at this time to be a spiritual leader because they said, we don't know what's happened to him. And all Aaron had to do is say, he's on the mound receiving the law of God and he will come back. That's all he had to do, I say. But they said, we want you to make us some gods that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. He said, here's what I want you to do. You break off that gold out of your ears, off your nose. And he said, bring it to me. And they brought it to him and he threw it in the fire. Took an engraving to it and engraved it. Made a golden calf and said, oh Israel, this is the God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He wasn't much of a spiritual leader, was he? There's a lot of churches ain't got much of a spiritual leader today.
Amen.
There's a lot of homes ain't got much of a spiritual leader in them. Daddies. Mamas. I know daddy's supposed to be the spiritual leader, but mama's got to take some responsibility somewhere along the way. And let me say, sometimes it falls on mama a lot because daddy just won't do it. Shame on you. Listen, let me say this. When you become absent or void and that of spiritual leadership, in other words, when you leave church, and in other words, when you quit reading your Bible and you quit praying, to have that spiritual leadership in you and in your home and in your church. Hey, listen, you know what's going to happen? Backslidden conditions are going to sneak up on you. Got to have that spiritual leadership. Mamas, I know, and daddies, I know that them young'uns don't like them. Don't like you to tell them what to do, especially the older they get. Listen to me, young people. You need to listen. They're just trying to help you and tell you what's right. An absence of spiritual leadership. That's why it's so important to stay in church. So important. Listen, when you run with the wrong people, it's going to get you in trouble. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to look at a man by the name of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon was a man that prayed to God. He said, Lord, he said, I'm like a little kid. And he said, I don't even know. He said, I don't even know how to go out and come in, let alone how to rule the nation of Israel. He said, Lord, I need wisdom. And so God gave him wisdom, didn't he? I mean, he had the wisdom of God in his life. He had so much wisdom that when the queen of Sheba, the queen of the east, come to him, she said, the high ain't even been told about you. Hey, listen, when the Lord Jesus talked about those lilies out there, and he said, they're not even arrayed like Solomon. And he said Solomon was great, because he said, there's a greater one than Solomon here now, talking about the Lord Jesus himself. But he said, Solomon was great. But I want you to look in 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Now look, God had already warned them. You know why the backsliders filled with their own way? They don't want to hear me preach on separation. Amen. The Sunday school teacher teach on separation. Right. Read their Bible on separation. And God said the problem right here was this very thing that God had warned them to stay away, and that out of Egypt, and to stay away from the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. God had said stay away from them, because if you don't, they will surely turn away your heart after their gods. So I warn these young people and older people alike, you better be careful. You better be careful who you choose out to be a mate.
Yeah, amen.
They say all the time, well, preacher, I can win that girl. I can win that boy. No, they'll win you every time.
Amen.
Just about. I would guarantee. I know some of you are in here saved because of that young lady or that young man. But I'm going to tell you today what that Bible said right here. God said they'll draw you away.
Yeah.
It's what they'll do. It's what they'll do. I tell you what, I tell you this today, young lady, young man, if there's a young man or young lady, that boy you're just smitten with and they're not saved, now I tell you what I'd do, I wouldn't have nothing to do with them, but I'd start praying for them. I'd be friends with them, and that's as far as I'd let that thing rock on, but I'd be praying that God would save them. Amen. I got to think about that the other day. There ain't a thing wrong with that.
Right.
Ain't a thing wrong with that. Listen, boy, there's one out there, just start praying. God wants you to save them. Well, you know what? God just might do that.
Right.
Invite them to church. Say, you can come to church with me. That's as far as it's going. Nothing else. But anyway, look right here. They'll turn you away. Look in 1 Kings. Keep on reading right here. The Bible said that what? For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And the Bible said Solomon clave unto these in love. He fell in love with them. And he had 700 wives, princesses. And 300 concubines, that's 1,000. And his wives turned away his heart. See what I tell you? Solomon had far more wisdom of God than me or you ever think about. And then women turned him away from God. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, and the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. He got around the wrong people, didn't he?
Amen.
Got around the wrong people. I'm talking about how do you get in a backseat condition. There is an absence of spiritual leadership, but then you begin to run with the wrong people. Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Preacher, I just really don't think that's what that means. Well, let's just go over here and look at it. You know, when people want to do something, want to justify what they're doing, I love it. Preacher, now that just I don't think that really is what that means. Yeah, that's what it really means. You just really want to go do your thing.
Amen.
And this ain't a cliche. And I'm saying this because I've had this happen to me. People will come and ask you questions just so that I can justify what they want to do. I've got to where I just, as soon as they start talking, you can just about figure out where they're headed.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Amen.
And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part of he that believeth with an infidel? That infidel is an unbeliever. So what part of a believer, if you're saved, do you have with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't know any other way that you can interpret that, if you'll let me use that word, or know what it means, is just to stay separated. Out of the world and out of worldly things and away from worldly people. Like some people just never got a root, did they? It just never got rooted into their heart. Well, what's it mean to be backslid? One is it's all about you. Two is something has brought you there to that place. I'm talking to saved folk today. If you ain't saved, you need to get saved.
Yes, hallelujah.
You need to get saved. But then you know there's coming a day when there's going to be correction. What did the text verse say? What did he say in the book of Proverbs? Let's go back over here. Proverbs chapter 15. Correction. Starts out with correction, don't it? Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. So you know what happens when you get in a backslid condition? There's going to be some correction coming. Some of y'all are sitting in here and you know what that means. Some of you have been backslid and you know that the preacher is being honest about what he's talking about today. And you know what? God was kind to you, and for some people in correction, he just reminded you of what he done and just encouraged you to get right, sent you a message like what I'm preaching today. And you got right with God before he had to start beating on you. Kind of like them times when you're doing wrong and your mama says, or your daddy says, one. Daddy never said one. He just always went like that right there. And boy, when he snapped, you looked up and he could look at you, and that was the end of it. Now mama would have to count to about 30. Don't make your mama count to 30. And mamas don't count to 30. Mama was just too kind-hearted some days. Don't count to 30 on your kids. Because you know why? You count to 30, they'll have to count to 35 and 40 and 40 and 50. Amen? You need to straighten them up when they need it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't being mean this morning. You go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. And we come back to that next verse right after. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burn incense and sacrifice unto their God. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So God was angry. You look at King David. The Bible talks about Solomon. He was not there at the end, was not after his father David's own heart. Can I tell you that the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart? When he was talking to King Saul over there, Samuel was, and he's talking about David, and he said, and God has sought him out a man who's after his own heart, talking about David. Can I ask you something? Did David mess up? Can I ask you this? Did David get in a backslid condition? I know he did.
Yeah.
I know he did. Mm-hmm. How do you know he did? You ever go over and read Psalms 38 sometimes? Mm-hmm. Well, let me go over there and read it real quick. Psalms chapter 38. Just let me get started on it. David, he's talking to the Lord and he's praying. And he says, "Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my what? Sin." Can I tell you, when God shows up, you know why God showed up.
Amen.
There's no mistaking it. God will make himself plain and he'll make himself clear. David knew why God was doing what he was doing. He said, "My iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and they're corrupt because of my foolishness." David said it was foolishness that brought me here. David said all that sin that I done, that adultery, foolishness, murder, foolishness, just foolishness. And so you know what God done one day? If you read the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, after 2 Samuel chapter 11 tells us what happens. And from 2 Samuel chapter 11 to 2 Samuel chapter 12, there's a 9-month period in there. And I think for 9 months, David was not right. Well, I know for 9 months, David was not right with God. I know that. And so, God sends a man by the name of what? Nathan. And tells him a little story down there. And boy, that story made David mad. Tell him about a rich man, a poor man, and a traveling man. And he said the rich man had so many lambs over there, but he chose not to kill one of his lambs for the traveling man that was coming through. But he went over there to the poor man's yard, and he got his one little ewe lamb that this poor man raised up like his own daughter and let him eat at his own table and let him sleep in his own house, if you let me say it that way. And he said that rich man took that poor man's one and only ewe lamb and said, killed it and dressed it for the traveling man. The Bible said that David got mad. And he said, "This man shall surely die. But he said before he dies, he's going to restore fourfold that unto that poor man." And boy, I'm telling you what, Nathan was a preacher.
Amen.
Nathan was a preacher.
Amen.
And he looked at him and he said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." He had him, you see. God already knew. I think David was already under conviction because of Psalms 38. I believe God was pushing on him and dealing with him. But there come a day when Nathan showed up. He said, "David, you're the man." Think about the guts that Nathan had to have to stand in there before the very king.
Amen.
And accuse, not only accuse him of sin, but declare him to be guilty of it. And say, "David, thou art the man. Thou art the man." Are you the man today? Are you the woman today that's backslid? You know judgment's coming. Hebrews 12 said, "And we have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth." Ain't that a wonderful blessing? "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth as usual with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." Hey, listen, the Lord ain't going to correct somebody that ain't his.
Amen.
But he'll correct every child that is his. Like I said, Daddy would let us get away with a little. Never how your parents done it, if they done it, would get your attention. So before they started beating on us, they wanted to get our attention. You know, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants to get your attention before He's going to start beating on you. But can I tell you today that if you keep on and you keep on and you want to be a rebel, He'll start beating on you. The Bible talks about Israel in the book of Isaiah 63. And here's what God said about Israel. For He said, surely they are My people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. And in His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now, I know that's talking about the nation of Israel, but that tells us exactly what God done for us. In His pity, He loved us and redeemed us. He looked at us and seen that there was nothing that we could do for ourselves.
Amen.
But yet He saved us anyway. In His pity, He saved us. But the very next verse said, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. If you want to rebel, God will let you, and He'll get ready to fight. You want to know who's going to win? You won't win.
Amen.
God will win every time. God will win every time. Can I tell you today, if you're fighting against Him, let's bow our heads today. Man, let's get a verse of invitation. If you're fighting against Him, He's going to win. But I want you to know this, that you can come up here and cry around this altar and you can get right with God. David got right with God when Nathan come by and said, Thou art the man. That prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 got all the way down in the hog pen. The only thing that he could have done that was worse than that is he could have died down there in that hog pen. Can I tell you today that you don't have to die down in the hog pen? Some of you may be there now. I hope you're not. Some of you may be headed there now. I hope you're not. At least I'm going to be honest with you. You don't start out saying, I want to get backslid. You don't start out saying, well, this is the path that it's going to lead me down. But I'm telling you right now, if you go down it, that's what's going to happen to you. Psalms chapter 51, David got right. Luke 15, that prodigal got right. That word prodigal don't mean a wanderer. It means one that's a waster. Where you get backslid, you're just wasting time, wasting God's blessings, wasting everything that He's done for you. If I get backslid, I'm wasting everything that God's ever done for me. And then ruining my testimony on top of that. Well, I hope you're not headed that way. I hope you're not there today. But if you are there today, why don't you come and get some things right with God? Go ahead and start playing, Brother Lewis, when you get ready. I want you to understand you can get right today. So, preacher, I'm going to have to come and admit some things. You don't have to admit them to me. You just need to admit them to God. You just need to admit them to the one that saved you and forgave you of all your sins. Say, Lord, I'm just sorry for the road I'm headed down. I don't want to be heading down this road no more. I want this thing fixed. Would you forgive me? Just help me fix it, Lord, and let me be on the right path. And you can get right with God. Do you need to come while He plays?